Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 118 of the Pico Serenity podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emelson, and joining me, we have my co-host, Namali.
Hello.
And this week, we have some pretty exciting news about the Dragonflight expansion. We got big profession overhaul breakdown that actually has like a ton of details. Sometimes these very early posts are mostly like fluff and trying to get people hyped, but this one actually has a very substantial amount of detail in it. Yeah. So there's a lot for us to go through there. We also got two talent trees that we're going to briefly like mention. And I killed the jailer. So, yay.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of, how was your raid this week, Adam?
So we're still off, actually.
You took this week off?
Yeah, we have this week off. We actually have next week off, too. Next week was always going to be a week off just because we're missing, I think, three people to vacation.
Yeah.
Including our main tank or one of our tanks and raid leader. So that would be, we weren't going to raid regardless. And yeah, so we took this week off. This is our typical like kill the last boss, take a week off is what we've done the past,
right?
The past like seven or so tiers that we've done. So no, it's been really, really, I guess, chill. I've been playing a lot of actually Burning Crusade Classic.
Nice. Are you level 70 yet?
No, but I am level 68 and a half.
Nice.
Going to Netherstorm now. On my little shaman hanging out there. And then I did a Mythic Plus last night on retail for the first time in like 2 months. Which was fun. So yeah, no, I've just been really kind of taking it easy. Honestly getting super hyped for Dragonflight. Reading a lot of the stuff that's coming out. I actually did a wish list, so a little preview, but the WoWhead wish list for monks should be out. Maybe by the time you listen to this. If you're watching live, they're not out yet, but they're out in the next couple days.
So. Nobody has asked me about my Brewmaster wish list, so I don't know what the status of that one is. Maybe Laryl is planning to do it himself, which is fine. He knows what he's doing, but nobody's asked me.
Yeah, I know Babs was what is the word I'm looking for? Soliciting a bunch of feedback from the Windwalkers. I did a little bit for Mistweaver, so yeah. But those should be out shortly. But yeah, that's all I've been doing. It's been pretty chill. So you killed the jailer, but you killed pre-nerf jailer, right?
Yes. We got it on Sunday. Nice. Only took 45 minutes of overtime. We did kind of overtime. And that's actually, there's a lot of guilds that don't normally do any overtime like ours that did a little bit to try and sneak in pre-nerf. And we were one of them. We benefited a lot from the fact that this past Monday was July 4th in the United States. Well, I mean, it was July 4th everywhere, but it was a holiday in the United States, which meant a bunch of people were off work. We end raid an hour earlier on Sunday than we do on Friday so that people can get up in the morning for work on Monday. And because of July 4th, we were able to actually just like, we asked, you know, hey, you know, DM an officer if you can't do overtime or don't want to do overtime. And, you know, everybody was like, I can do more raid because of July 4th, or, you know, they were people that already were in a different time zone. And so it was already really early for them anyway. So they could do an extra hour. And 45 minutes later, we got the jailer. very, very spicy kill.
Nice.
At the end of it, somebody stood in defile.
Oh, okay.
Somebody stood in defile.
Interesting.
And just like people die. We just lose people because defile, right?
Yeah.
And I try and make a hero play, which is mistake number one. Don't do that. and taunt the boss, trying to get out of the defile. And then more people stand in the defile and it grows even further. And then that was wasted. But in the process, I, of course, am a tank. I have execution sentence on me, or death sentence, or whatever it's called. And I have the first meteor cleave debuff from the first meteor cleave. He walks over and he just one-shots me.
Oh, no.
And suddenly, there's some execution sentence puddles for people to catch, or death sentence puddles for people to catch. We killed it.
You made it.
We killed it, but we killed it with like two people alive. When if like we had been a little bit cleaner, we would have had like 18 people alive, right? Like we made it into phase four with everybody alive with multiple battle reses and all this stuff. And just almost threw it away. But yeah, phase four was a complete joke. It's even more of a joke now. Like the whole fight, the nerfs are very big. Right, I was like talk some about our phase four strat, which I thought was actually very good. We adopted it from another guild, and the whole strat was basically don't move. Right. Don't move, pump damage. And that was basically like the strat. I don't even know if it's worth talking about that now because of all the nerfs. I don't know.
That is the current strat right now, right? Anyway,
you see people. So some of the guilds that killed it this week are bloodlusting to basically skip phase three, and then they do phase four because phase four is easier.
Yeah,
and already shorter. So it's very, very strange times.
Yeah, on that fight. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, and I know I was checking Prague stats a little earlier today, and I noticed it had a very the Jailer kill is at a very similar Helandris launch point.
We went from, so last week we had 65-ish kills of Mythic Jailer. This week we're at about 130.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a launching point of kills, which is always funny. So
yeah,
yeah, no, it's awesome. You got a pre, I think, there's a lot of talk about this, but I think getting it pre-nerf probably felt a lot better for you guys than like walking in there, like, this Friday and taking like four pulls and killing it and being like, yeah, this is kind of anticlimactic.
That is what happened with Helandris this tier. And that is actually what motivated us to actually ask about overtiming on Sunday, is like we had it happen on Helandris and it just like completely like crushed like the excitement of killing the boss on Helandris. It also happened to us back in the day when they gutted Jaina. We took significantly longer in BOD than basically any other tier that we've done. And Jaina, we were progressing Jaina when the final round of nerfs hit and just completely destroyed the boss. And we went from like not quite making the phase three damage check to just like walking in and effectively one shot. I think it actually took us like two or three pulls because we just wiped to silly, you know, people falling off the boat kind of stuff.
Right, yeah.
But it was completely anticlimactic. It's just like, well, that's over now.
Yeah, and then now the tier's over. Yeah, that's awesome, though, that you got it before the nerfs came in. Which made, I guess, how was reclear this week? Because you said you raided, right?
Yeah, so we are reclearing. Normally, we would do like you guys are doing and take the week off. And that was actually my initial thinking, is we were going to take the week off. But then we asked people, and we had... most of the raid was like, yeah, I actually wanted to go back and do farm. Like, doing farm sounds like fun after we've been in Jailer for so long.
That's awesome.
They want to kill the different bosses. So we went back in, and it's partially motivated. So we're actually going to be extending again, unless we somehow kill the Jailer tonight again.
Okay.
Which is maybe possible, but we've got more bosses to get through before we get to him. Because... we have a couple people that really, really want their CE achievements and don't have it yet. So our plan is basically to take however far we get tonight. There's a slim chance that we maybe don't extend if we like somehow manage to get through, you know, 10 out of 11 tonight. I don't know if we'll extend or if we'll just go back in next week with a fresh one and just rely on clearing the first 10 slightly faster and then rely on killing the Jailer in time. Or we might extend and then next week would be our break week because we'll get the people that want CE, the achievement, and then and then like take the rest of the week off. But yeah,
that's fair.
People want CE and the season four cutoff is fast approaching. Like, let me real quick check how many lockouts we have left. So this coming Tuesday for NA is one lockout.
Yep.
Then so three total lockouts remaining.
Yeah, which is at this point not a lot left. Yeah.
So it's like, we're not planning on getting the jailer tonight. There's a chance we could, but we're not planning on it. We have 21 from our roster. Actually, I think actually maybe exactly 20 from our roster that are available tonight. Gotcha. So we are raiding with literally just the people that we have. And that means that stuff like jailer assignments would be really difficult to do.
Oh, yeah. You'll have to, like, redo all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is not...
So not the exciting plan, the people that we have out had out that we wanted that want the achievement are literally like one for one swaps. We can just swap out a Holy Paladin for a Holy Paladin and a Boomkin for a Boomkin and be done. And like they can literally take over their assignments and just do the fight. So
yeah, not bad. That's awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, I hope you get it. Hope you get through it for sure. But it'll be interesting to see how we do on our reclear in a week now. So that only gives me, I guess, two lockouts to get a jailer kill. So we'll
see if we can pull it off. I mean, I can say from our reclear so far, the boss that actually has taken us the most time, we have not reached Anduin yet. I've been told Anduin is the real like kick in the teeth still. That one's the one that determines whether you For Guilds of the Ben reclearing, that's the one that determines whether you one night clear or not is Anduin.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not underestimate Prototype Pantheon. And that's, I think, we didn't have enough damage on the Necrotic adds. And we also, with our Scuffed comp, didn't have enough damage to just ignore all of them. So we did have to kill them.
Gotcha.
So, like, we were in that kind of awkward point where we couldn't do the... what is now the normal farm strat of just ignoring all of the adds and you just push the bosses.
Yeah.
But we also didn't have our old comp that had like three Boomkins in it and two Affliction Warlocks and they just like deleted the adds for us.
Yeah.
So didn't have
to worry about them.
We had to actually think about killing the adds.
Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be difficult for sure. Yeah, well, I definitely can't wait to test it out. So we'll have in 2 weeks, maybe not next week, but the week after, I'll have some maybe comments on how our reclear went. See if it if we're able to make it through in the time we have. So, well, cool. Well, awesome. You got Jailer. I guess we can sort of transition or segue into some of the news for the week. And we got some new. I guess we got some new talent trees on Friday. So. They finally dropped two new talent trees. It was Hunter and Rogue, so two pure DPS classes.
Yep.
Sort of dropped, and we got the full, you know, all the different spec trees plus the class specific tree. And I don't play a Hunter. I don't play a Rogue. I know nothing about it. I don't know if they're good or they're bad. But it is two more trees. We're now up to five total released, right?
Yeah,
I believe. So that leaves eight more remaining, eight more class yes. trees remaining. So
which I don't think we're gonna get an Evoker talent tree preview. I don't think we're going to.
So it's only seven then, but
yeah. I think we're gonna get just an Evoker class preview, but it's gonna be when like beta is already happening and it's gonna be a summary for people that don't like pay attention to WoWhead beta updates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the hunters in my guild have been very positive about the hunter trees. Maybe not so much the survival one. Like survival is once again getting some changes, but the beast mastery tree, they've been very happy about. The class tree they've been pretty happy about, which I think the class tree structure is very interesting here, where you can see if you're looking at this on stream, you can just see this, but like there's a lot of ways to go from like one vertical into another vertical, which was an issue that we had with the Death Knight talent tree, right? Where it was like three columns, one for each spec, and it was very difficult to go from one to the other. So you kind of just like progress down one column, and then you had to pick a second column to progress down. And it kind of meant that you really, like, it almost felt like every, you had like your spec tree, and then you had three like quarters, like three individual spec trees, quote unquote, that were just available to everybody. The hunter tree is very much not like that. There's a ton of ways to go from one vertical into another vertical, which gives you a lot of options to like move around and take different things.
Yep.
The rogue tree, not gonna spend too much time on this because I'm not the rogue. The rogue tree has the DK kind of structure, where there's very much like three verticals, and it's very difficult to go from one vertical into any other. So for example, you cannot get to the echoing reprimand talent or elusiveness talent or acrobatic strikes talent, which are all in the class tree. So in theory, they're available to all rogues, but in order to get to them, you have to start at blind, which is the combat / outlaw rogue starter talent. So if you're playing assassination, you have to go kind of ignore your assassination stuff for a bit and go down the entire combat tree in order to get down to these talents. So same thing with like cheat death, which is over in the subtlety section of the tree. So it's very different in structure, where this is much more like, again, like you have your spec tree and then you have your technically class tree, but it's kind of just three spec trees that are available to all specs.
Right. Yeah.
I personally like the hunter structure better. It feels like you have a more cohesive class tree.
Yeah.
And you have a lot more options.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, slightly, I know we didn't talk about this too much, but I think the priest tree suffers a little bit from this, in that if you're a shadow priest, particularly in your like generic tree, you have very little reason to go outside of just the shadow only talents. We'll see. Potentially they'll probably do some iteration on the rogue stuff. The hunter tree looks, just by structure wise, looks pretty interesting. Hopefully this means, like, I think we'll talk about this a little bit, but hopefully with alpha on the very near horizon, we'll say, we'll get to see, these trees being released, I guess, more frequently, right? It's only been, 2 weeks since the priest tree at this point?
Has it even been that long? I thought priest tree was last
the Friday week. Before July 4th. Okay, yeah, then it's been, hopefully we start getting these, every week or so, get a couple more classes. So, and hopefully monks soon-ish.
Soon, TM.
We'll see. I'm not holding my breath, so. In terms of, I think we're generally, it's nice that the rogue tree's out, because I feel like it's always rogues and monks that sort of lag behind other classes in terms of, their previews, we'll say.
I'm looking forward to getting the monk trees out. That's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. All right, moving on a little bit here. We have Alliance Hall of Fame closing, or should have closed this reset. It's actually going to close next reset. They made an announcement and then didn't actually close it. So if you played Alliance, you probably were able to get, Hall of Fame with all the Jailer nerfs, right? Alliance Hall of Fame is closing at this reset. So if you haven't killed Jailer yet this week, you can try really hard and get in Hall of Fame. And it's only, I think it's only this time 2 months later than the Horde Hall of Fame. So
this is the longest gap there's ever been.
Yeah, no, it's just, I they need to do something about it. Because like, if you think about like what Hall of Fame is meant to be, I get that they want to split the factions, but it's like, no offense to an Alliance guild that has killed Jailer now, but like, you, I don't know if I'd really call you a Hall of Fame guild. That's my opinion, but it's probably like, wrong.
You have to, anyway, you have to qualify it. You are an Alliance Hall of Fame guild.
Yeah.
And that means a very different thing. Like,
yeah,
it just does. It sucks, but it does. Cause most of the Alliance Hall of Fame guilds, maybe not most, a solid like 50% of the Alliance Hall of Fame guilds would not have made the Horde Hall of Fame.
Exactly. So I mean, it's good that, I mean, it's nice that they've closed it. They had already opened up Crossrealm Mythic anyway without it being closed, which was nice. But Alliance Hall of Fame closed, and so get your Hall of Fame titles this week if you can. If not, you'll lose it forever. Next up is actually a really fun announcement. So Mr. Yabara, Blizzard president, old Michael over there, gave an interview with, I believe it was Forbes, I want to say. It was the LA Times.
Times, yeah.
Gave an interview with the LA Times and mentioned BlizzCon 2023, essentially saying that they are committed to bringing back BlizzCon in 2023, essentially the in-person convention. I'm super excited about this. Before COVID hit, I had actually put together a plan, like talked to, you know, my wife and talked to some other people and some of my friends. We're actually going to go out to BlizzCon because I've never actually been to an in-person BlizzCon.
Yeah.
So I'm super stoked about this just because I think this will be fun to get out there, you know, see the West Coast again. I haven't been out there in a couple of years and yeah, you know, see some friends, you know, that play WoW, nerd out for a weekend. So
yeah, there was a Picus Randy crew that went and met up at BlizzCon 2019. That I missed because I was in grad school and I had deadlines and it just didn't work out. And that's so the plan was like, I was going to go to 2020. People are going to go to the, you know, BlizzCon 2020. And then COVID happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, being able to like go to BlizzCon, hypothetically BlizzCon 2023, that's exciting. So yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, which will be, yeah, I'm also pretty stoked. So hopefully, you know, I'm assuming it'll be very similar timing. So like November 2023, so you definitely have some time before before we'll see this. But no, I think it'll be cool. I'm excited. So definitely excited to be super old and go to a video game convention. It'll be great. I won't be weird at all.
That's okay. BlizzCon's a boomer convention anyway.
That's true. That's true. Oh, awesome. All right, now back into less IRL stuff, more into the game stuff. Blizzard dropped on us this week the Pouch of Prodigious Wonders, which essentially allows you to transfer Cosmic Flux to your alts. So it's a bind on account item that you can buy on your main and send Cosmic Flux to your alts. I'm super excited about this one just because I like it's so awful doing Xerath Mortis on a badly geared character, particularly a healer. Which is normally what most of my classes are on.
Rough.
Yeah, which is normally what my classes are. And so trying to get Cosmic Flux for even one legendary for my priest has been extremely slow going to the point where I stopped. But now I'll be able to transfer like the, you know, 30,000 Cosmic Flux I have on my main to my alt, which will be nice. So this is sort of the final piece, I think, in terms of transferable currency for this expansion.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. There are, even if you don't do a lot, if you're a raid logger and you just log in for a raid, you still probably have 10 to 20,000 Cosmic Flux just sitting on your main that's not being used for anything. Because every, like if, even if you've been doing Jailer progression for, you know, ages, and that's all you've been doing, Jailer progression, Raglan progression, Lords of Dread progression, the mini bosses before those bosses, actually, Raglan doesn't have one, but the mini boss before the Jailer drops 150 Cosmic Flux.
Yeah.
So if you've had 8 raid nights between like that you spent progressing the Jailer, you've killed that thing 8 times. You've got like almost 1500 Cosmic Flux just from that. Killing the Jailer gives 100, which is kind of funny that it gives less than killing the trash mob.
Oh, that's so funny.
But like, you know, you add that up over the whole raid. If you've been raid logging since the release of the raid, basically every time you go and you kill one of those things, you're getting Cosmic Flux. You're probably sitting on like 20,000.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a nice change to be able to just sort of get that to your alts. 'Cause I think that's the one sort of biggest hesitation, not hesitation, but like hurdle, right? Is like, there's a lot to do to like gearing up, and I get like playing the game and doing Mythic Plus or doing raids, like gear up your alts is fun. I feel like the fact that I have to like do a bunch of world content to gear up my alt is like not as much fun because it's like a very like busy body activity. I'm not really learning or I'm not really engaging with like how I'll play this character in like the content I actually want to do. It's just, I do a bunch of dailies where I spam Smite and Holy Fire on my priest, which is like not how I want to do it. So no, this is a good change. I think Blizzard, I mean, awesome that they're doing this now. I think this is one of those things where, like, if they just started with this sort of idea of, like, currency is transferable, like, that makes it better, right?
Yeah. It's kind of, I feel like there was a major disconnect between how Blizzard saw legendaries and how the players see legendaries, where the players are like, legendaries are mandatory. Highest eye level is mandatory. Like, across all content, doesn't really matter if you're doing heroic or normal or whatever. People right. want to see you wearing those 291 legendaries, and that means you must have Cosmic Flux. You must have a 291 crafted item, right?
Right.
And Blizzard is like, you can, and people can wear low-level legendaries. Like, that's fine. You can transfer the Soul Cinders and Soul Ash already. You know, why do we need to transfer Cosmic Flux? But
yeah, and I think the other thing too, it's not even like, I think that's part of it, but I think the other part of it is just, it's just expensive. Like, do I really want to sink like 20-30k additional into my alt to get it a lower level legendary and then eventually have to recraft that, buy another base piece that, you know, it's the gold part of it. I mean, not that like, I mean, I have 4 million gold on my main, so it's like, it's not like I'm hurting for gold and it's not like it's going to cost me that much, but it's just that horde of like, I don't want to do the same step, like the step up piece, which is sort of just,
I do not have 40 million gold on my main, or 4 million gold on my main. So it, I definitely feel it when I'm like working on an alt and it's like, well, do I buy 4 legendary base items or do I buy 2? Right.
Yeah.
Bertha, you're in chat. It says, if I think about farming anything besides gear, my desire shrinks to zero to play an alt. And I think that's actually one of the major things that Blizzard kind of missed when they were setting up systems. This expansion and last expansion, where like you've got all of these non-gear things to do, even things that are quote-unquote gear in that they drop as items, like conduits or the Azerite neck piece in BFA. They're not really gear. Right? They're not really gear. They have an item level, but they're not really gear.
Yeah.
And we know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would agree to that sentiment. Is like, I don't mind the dungeon grinds, like Mythic Plus grinds, doing LFR for like tier sets or doing that stuff and all. But like having me go out in the open world and kill 12 mobs for a quest just so I can get 125 Cosmic Flux. Eventually in 2 weeks I can make a max rank legendary. It's just like, I don't want to do that.
Here's the question for you, and this is something that I think Blizzard has done badly, so I'm curious if you know about this. Did you do treasures to get your Cosmic Flux for your legendaries on your alts?
No.
The non-repeatable treasures are 200 Cosmic Flux a piece, and you can just fly around and open them.
Yeah, but that, like, okay, maybe that would... no, I didn't do that. Just, I think that's because I started doing dailies to, like, unlock the zone, because I know I eventually need to do these to get it. And I got, like, halfway through that, and I was like, hate this. And just,
so
like,
you
quit.
Can do all of the legend, all of the non-repeatable treasures, and it works out to, like, 2,800 Cosmic Flux or something. I think there's 14 of them. Oh, okay. Maybe there's more. So you can get enough basically for 2 legendaries, but that leaves you with nothing to make tier pieces with, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So you still want Cosmic Flux in order to make tier pieces.
Are all those treasures available at the the opening of the zone?
There are a bunch that are. Like, you can do enough to get 2 291 legendaries, I think, without doing any of the quests. But there's a bunch more that require different like unlocks on the box. I'm forgetting what the different like knowledge things in the box in the cave. I don't remember what it's called.
Oh yeah, like the research.
Sopranian knowledge and stuff like that. You have to have some of those to get some of the non-repeatable treasures. So
gotcha. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, and that just seems like I'm already lost and I'm already over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, now this will be, I mean, this is a nice change, and hopefully it's something they carry forward soon, like forward. Right. And like, maybe these type of items aren't available on patch release. Right. Like, this is something that comes in like a month into the patch. which I think is well, fine, right?
At the same time, like, I don't think they need to time to, like, delay that. If it's tuned like Cosmic Flux, like, Cosmic Flux was never a limiting factor for a main. It just was not a limiting factor for a main. You know, day one, people had enough Cosmic Flux for just doing Xerath Mortis the first time on their main, like, to make 2/291 legendaries decent progress on making a tier piece, which they couldn't even do yet. Like, by the time you could actually make tier pieces with the... I'm so bad with names today. What's the...
Yeah, the...
Creation Catalyst.
Creation Catalyst.
By the time you could Creation Catalyst tier pieces on your main, you would have so much Cosmic Flux just from playing the game that it was not a limiting factor. So it's really only alts that it was a limiting factor. That is in contrast to Soul Cinders and Soul Ash, where they were actually limiting factors. So being able to, like, do Soul Cinders and Soul Ash on an army of alts and then mail it all to your main would have been a thing that people did for to, like, progress their main. But, like, with the way that Cosmic Flux was tuned, you would just never do that because you just didn't need it on your main. It was the other way around. You needed it on your alt and your main had it and it was stuck there.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. Maybe this is just something they just, you know, release at the start of an expansion or start of a patch, right? And then you get that whole currency transfer, you know, but the entire time.
At the same time, no legendaries in Dragonflight, so maybe this is just a non-issue.
Yeah, maybe it just becomes, We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see what sort of how the gearing works. Because, like, I think we'll talk a little bit about it today, but there's some gearing changes in Season 4 that potentially get carried forward in Dragonflight. So cool. So, yeah, so Cosmic Flux, you can transfer it to alts through a BOA item. And yeah, get your alts some legendaries. Next up was an announcement. So we'll go over some Season 4 stuff that's coming in. So Valor, I guess Blizzard made an announcement. Both Valor and Conquest are going to be reset at the start of Season 4. Valor will not have a cap. So you can basically jump in the start of Season 4, farm Valor to your heart's content, which will be good. Conquest will have a cap. It'll be higher than any other season and eventually will be fully uncapped. But initially Conquest will start with a cap of some sort. So good change. I mean, I get, like, Season 4 sort of the, hey, let's get crazy season, which I understand. But, I mean, Valor caps are... I don't know. I feel like because I don't primarily gear through Mythic Plus, like, I've never run into a situation where, like, I have the time to do more Mythic Plus to get more Valor to upgrade a piece and need that Valor this week, right? It's always been like I've always been able to have enough Valor that when I'm ready to do an upgrade, I'll have enough to do it, right?
Yeah, the Valor cap was just really low for the amount of Valor that it took to upgrade things. Like, you needed two full weeks of Valor to take an item from 262 to 272. This tier,
right?
Or to take a weapon, a two-handed weapon, so an int staff or an agility staff or any two-handed strength weapon to to, like, 10 high levels, right? And that fit, it was, like, tuned in parity to the conquest cost to just buy a weapon. Like, you needed about that amount of conquest, about 2 weeks worth of conquest to buy a weapon, which is very, very different. Very, very different. Like, upgrading 10 eye levels on a weapon is very different from just outright buying one. Like, they just are not the same thing. So I definitely ran into the Valor cap a few times where I wanted to, like, upgrade my Pockstorm. Like, I got a Pockstorm and a file from Plaguefall fairly early this season. I wanted to upgrade both of them.
Gotcha.
And just couldn't. I was running into the Valor cap. The conquest cap, the reason that I think they are maintaining a higher cap but still a cap on that one is because it does let you buy gear. It lets you directly just buy gear, and that would be, like, for people that are playing Season 4, that would be probably just the best way to gear. It may still be one of the best ways to gear, and that's okay if it's one of the best ways, but, like, just being able to straight up, like, grind arenas for conquest on week one and just buy a full set of, you know, max eye level conquest gear is maybe not desirable.
Which makes sense. So everything's getting reset, which I think is a good thing. No reason to hoard as much Valor as you can.
note on that one, and this is a note on the Wowhead post as well. There are boxes that you can buy. There's a vendor next to the Flightmaster in Orbos. Mm-hmm. You can buy boxes from them for Valor and for Conquest that you can send to alts with like catch up gear. If you don't have an alt now, you can go and you can buy the boxes with Valor and Conquest before the patch.
Yeah.
And just hang on to them and then go, you know, if you make an alt in season 4, you can kickstart them. They won't have like current season eye level stuff, but they'll have, you know, season 3 eye level stuff, which is still a good jump over questing gear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is. I think I did that. I did that with my priest. It's unfortunately is a random piece of gear, so you can kind of get mm-hmm. screwed. But no, it is a good way to sort of to supplement or sort of augment some of that. And it is, you can use it in the creation catalyst too.
Yes.
Which is good.
It is real mythic plus slash PvP gear, so you can go in creation catalyst it, unlike the vendor gear and the world quest gear from Xerath Mortis. So if you get a chest piece from that, you can take it to the catalyst and use it, which was actually an issue that I ran into trying to gear up my mage. Is I had enough cosmic flux to create multiple tier pieces, but I didn't have any base items that were usable in the creation catalyst.
Oh man.
So I could not craft my 4-piece. I was stuck at 3-piece with no ability to make the 4th.
God, Jesus. Yeah, that's rough. That's rough. So a couple of a nice little valor change there. Conquest stuff. Next up is Blizzard did do a little bit of clarification on some of the new currency you'll acquire in season 4, particularly from the faded bosses. So there's a new currency, if folks aren't aware, that drops from faded bosses. You'll use this currency to buy faded items from a vendor. I believe you get 3 faded items you can purchase. So it's not like an unlimited amount. You get 3 of them and you basically collect this currency by killing faded bosses. And I think there's a little bit, you can do some quests too to get some currency also. So what Blizzard said is in the current iteration, it takes about 6 weeks to, if you kill 10 bosses per week over the opening 6 weeks, you'll have enough currency to buy your 3 full items. They're lowering that basic duration to about 4.5-5 weeks. So if you kill 10 bosses a week for the first 4.5 weeks, or 5 weeks, you'll have enough currency to buy 3 full faded items. So lowering the general amount of time it takes to get your currency, your full amount of currency. And they're also, I guess it's based on doing quests too. Those quests will change over the course of the season where you'll lower the amount of kills you need to actually get the currency to purchase these faded items. So they've already sort of talked about the catch-up mechanic. They've already started to mention catch-up mechanics for alts after like the initial like season launches. So
yeah, basically a way to kind of like cosmic flux and the creation catalyst to come in and be able to pick up those items earlier or like more quickly on your alts. And maybe that just kind of pans out to being able to pick up multiple of the quests at the time. Like maybe the quests just like if you can pick up 2 at a time later in the season and just like have your quests or your boss kills effectively count double because you have 2 quests, that might be the trick. They also confirmed that, like we had speculated, the cutting edge mounts are staying where they are, 100% drop rate till the end of the expansion. So that's nice. They also confirmed, which was not expected, that the heroic jailer mount that it's currently tied to ahead of the curve will be staying around for season 4. So if you don't have that yet from heroic jailer, you'll be able to get it in season 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is this is sort of in line with what they've always done. I know season 4 is a little bit of a different type of patch, but they've always sort of kept the mounts 100% drop rate over the course of an entire expansion until the next one launches. Typically with the pre-patch for the next expansion, they'll sort of drop those mounts to the 1% drop rate they are for older raids. So it'll be interesting. Or sorry, it's good news for everybody who still wants to farm those mounts. I'm excited. I don't know if I'll get a mount. I probably won't get a mount before season 4, but I'll be able to get my mount from Jailer, from Mythic Jailer.
It does also the catch-up stuff is really nice, knowing that, like, I don't have to worry about trying to get in all 10 boss kills on an alt every week in early in the season. Right. In order to get my 3 dinar to buy my 3 items, I can just, like, chill, do my main, and then later in the season I'll be able to pick up an alt and get through the quests to get the dinar more quickly without having to do the whole, like, 5 weeks or whatever it ends up being of boss kills.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So, nice little clarification from Blizzard on that. And yeah, hopefully makes alts playing in season 4 a little better. So
real quick before we move into kind of main topic stuff, do you know what your guild is planning to do for season 4?
No, I'll be completely honest with you. I think the idea is going to end up being is we typically want to farm as many mounts as we can. So my assumption is we'll continue to probably prioritize, Sepulchre until we get the skip, and then basically do the skip or use the skip to farm a mount, and then any leftover time for a raid week, do the faded raids.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for us is actually going to be how the faded raids are tuned.
Yeah.
Right? I think we've talked about this a little bit. And I've mentioned this is like, if we have to reprogress Mythic Sylvanas in a week, we will probably just not do Mythic faded raid. Like it's just like, it doesn't make sense to, you know, wipe or know you're going to step into a boss fight and know you're going to wipe for 4 or 5 hours, right? That's just not, we just don't have enough time. That's not what we're looking for
right now.
Yeah, exactly. And we've already done those boss fights. We've already progressed them. So I think it's all going to depend on how the mythic raids are tuned. And if they're tuned in a way that like, yeah, we can use 6 hours out of our 8 hours a week to go in and clear a faded raid. Awesome. Let's go do it. If it's like, hey, we're not, I guess the other thing too is, well, they're based on kills, right? Because I was thinking too, like the skips still work. So, like, is the idea like if you still have to kill 10 bosses regardless? You know?
Yeah, you could go in and kill like 4. Like, you don't. It doesn't care if they're mythic kills; they can be heroic kills. You can go in and you can do 4. Sure. Like, your if it's Sanctum Week, you can go and do Terror Grew, then skip to Kel'Thuzad and Sylvanas and take 3 kills and go kill Guardian because it's free. And take your 4 kills and then go and get the rest on heroic or normal. And like people can do that on their own time. It doesn't have to be part of raid.
That's true.
It's, you know, chill season 4 stuff. They don't even necessarily have to do it. They're just going to progress more. They're going to get their dinar stuff more slowly if they don't.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. So it doesn't have to be within the group. But I mean, I'd say that what we'll end up doing is really just sort of prioritizing jailer mounts and then any leftover time head into whatever the faded raid that week is.
I think that's likely similar to what we're doing. I don't know what we're doing yet either. We do a big post progression survey every tier to like see what people want to do with farm and see what people think about our prog and all this other stuff. And we have not gotten all the results back from that yet, so I don't exactly know. Like, we have a section in that on season 4 that like we only have like half the raid that's filled it out right now, so
gotcha.
Still figuring that one out too, but I think that's pretty likely that we also prioritize jailer mounts and then whatever extra time maybe we do the faded raids, depending on if they're tuned to be fun or not fun farm bosses.
Yeah And I think that's that'll be like, I think I definitely said this before on the podcast, it's just I want Blizzard to basically make them like heroic plus type encounters, right? Like I want maybe like 4 or 5 wipes to Sylvanas and then we kill it and it's great, right?
You cut out, Anam, can you hear me? This is awkward. We can't hear you, Anam. I can see you though, so.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, that was weird. My audio engine crashed. I don't know where I left off. All I was saying is that I like crushing bosses. I hope they're easy so that you can fly through them, because now you have a bunch of gear and it's more fun that way. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Cool. I guess we move into the main topics. I guess we've sort of 2 topics to talk a little bit about professions, but I think briefly we'll talk about sort of the elephant in the room is Alpha. So on Friday, a bunch of Battle.net launcher stuff got updated with entries for the Alpha. So this is basically not that the Alpha was actually live or launched or anything like that. It was just like a bunch of the data that sits behind the launcher was updated to basically make references to Dragonflight Alpha. And so this is typically one of the, I think there's probably like three or four things that Blizzard needs to do to get the Alpha out side of its company. This is one of those, right? Basically allows you to select the Alpha in the launcher, download a client if it was out there, date if it was out there, and then log in if servers are up. So this occurred Friday. I think with Shadowlands, they were saying, I read a couple tweets that basically in the Shadowlands example, they did all these updates for Shadowlands Alpha. And then the next week, Shadowlands Alpha actually was kicked off. So along with this change, a bunch of other sort of people will say news, other people tweeting out there have basically almost confirmed that Alpha is starting this week coming up, with the idea that press will get Alpha, you know, probably Tuesday, Wednesday, with the larger sort of influencer, streamer, friends and family getting it, you know, Thursday, Friday timeframe. So which is fun, we'll say. This, I will say that I'm not going to name any names, but this is in line with a lot of the other rumors that I have heard, we'll say, from some personal friends. And sort of this is when, you know, I think they have also sort of, you know, can all but confirmed that this is happening. So I think barring any major issue, like catastrophic game breaking, you know, Alpha just destroys hard drives type thing, we should see it this week. So,
yep.
Yeah.
I do want to mention as well for everybody getting excited about seeing all of the talent trees. It is entirely possible that they release Alpha and have some classes disabled, like entirely disabled, or you can log in, but they don't have a functioning talent tree yet. This early in Alpha, that's entirely possible. Like it may not be possible to create an invoker or an evoker. It may not be possible to like create a monk, or you might create a monk and you might go and look at your talents and see it's totally empty. Yeah. And that's how it is this early in the alpha beta cycle. So I'm hopeful that this means we'll get to like hop in and play monk this week. Fingers yeah. crossed. I'm on the friends and family list this time around. Fingers crossed. That means I actually get in. I had an email change on my BNet account. So fingers crossed. That doesn't mean that I got bumped from the list. Ew. I did let my inside person know that my email changed. So
yeah, get them to update that list. Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. That'll be I don't know if people remember this, but when Shadowlands Alpha launched, particularly Torghast was only available for like two classes. It was like mage and one other class. So it's not unheard of to see Blizzard launch an alpha and like have entire classes disabled from being able to be played.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I mean I would all but assume that if a class hasn't seen its talent preview posted yet, that you more than likely, to your point, either can't even create one or it's just a blank tree. Or to be fair, it's a placeholder tree. Like maybe the monk tree when you open up talents is nothing but hunter talents, right?
Yeah.
I think fun, exciting. I mean, I'm more excited for next week's episode at this point than this week's episode. But we should see Alpha and some content coming out this week for the game, which will be exciting. And hopefully I don't know if I'm on any lists yet. If not, I'll have to ping some people, maybe see if I can slide in there. So
We got one other major blue post last week,
actually, and very like, let's just, before we get into it, very long, like unusually long, lengthy and in-depth blue post.
Yeah,
for something like this. Like I was thinking back. I don't think, and we're talking about the professions, right? But I don't think we got this in depth of a blue post on like Azerite armor when it came out.
No, I mean, right? Azerite armor was non-functional for most of the beta, but
I'm just saying, like, whoever is writing and doing like the community stuff for Blizzard, like, like got like clap for that because yeah, this was cool.
They have said for a long time that they want to be better about communication. Like they want to communicate not just how something is, you know, what it is, but also what the intent behind it is and why they're doing things. Yeah. And thus far for this expansion, they have for Dragonflight, they've been doing a very good job of like explaining why the talent tree revamps are happening, explaining their philosophy for talent trees, and now explaining what the new crafting systems are going to look like and why they're making these changes. So there's still some things that are left up in the air as far as the intentions and the why, but there's a lot that's not. And that comes out in this big post on the WoW. This is actually a post on like not just a blue post. It is actually a post on the World of Warcraft website. So you wanna get started with the work order stuff?
Yeah. So they gave a little bit of a preview with how work orders are going to sort of happen, and a little bit more detail, which I think is cool. So if people aren't aware, work orders are essentially things where you, as someone who wants to buy a piece of crafted gear, can use an auction house like interface to request that piece of gear to be crafted for you. And in it, you can like provide some reagents. This includes providing soulbound reagents, which is a new change, which is really nice. Yeah. Along with adding like a tip or commission for someone to create it. One thing they did sort of, so this is very nice in terms of like, if you need a piece of crafted gear and you have like, I remember like the old like items used to drop at the end of heroic dungeons, like were always soulbound, like primal nethers, I think they were called in one expansion. And those were used to then in the crafting system. But if you didn't have a crafting profession to use them, they were essentially just dead items for you.
Yeah, they just hung out in your bags, or you could vendor them.
Yeah, exactly. So you now can add soulbind items, you can post that up, and you can request something to be crafted on your behalf. The cool thing is you can actually set filters on who can craft for you. So you can send it to anybody, you can send it in guild, which is an interesting one.
That actually is something that may come into play for our guild. We can have people, like we had guild crafters for legendaries in 9.0 before we ran into the brick wall that was the materials requirements.
Yeah.
But we could still, like, there's going to be, we'll get to this later, there's going to be mythic item level gear that you can craft, and being able to like put up a work order, like do it asynchronous, like we were doing it through mail. Like you would send the mail to the crafter with the legendary you wanted and the missives that were supposed to go in it, or not the missives, the materials that were supposed to go in it, like some of the vendor ones, and they would craft it for you and mail it back. This is going to be so much easier to manage.
Right.
So if we have guild crafters, if we have like a guild leather worker that goes and levels it up and gets all the, you know, maybe somebody specializes in certain things and somebody else specializes in other things, you don't have to, as a raider, know. And you also don't have to put it up for public order and like pay a big commission. You can put it up just for the guild and let somebody in the guild handle it.
Exactly. So that'll be nice. And then the third thing is you can actually post it to a specific player, meaning like, this sort of, I think, plays into that idea that Blizzard's saying, like, well, maybe if you're a crafter and you want to craft and making the best leather helms on your server, you'll get a name for that and people will request that you craft their leather helms because you have the best quality one, right? And that sort of can get your name out there. So this is sort of the work order piece. They also sort of talk a little bit about, like, optional reagents, which sort of sound like missives where, like, if you want to include that you want, like, a certain type of stats on this item, you can sort of also include that in sort of the reagents as you set up this work order. You just post it and wait for somebody to craft it. And I'm assuming you get the item back at the end of the day. So it seems like a very clean experience for you as a requester of this type of service. So no longer need to spam trade chat, no longer need to actually buy the full item. They did clarify too, just so we're aware, is that you can actually craft items that would be considered soulbound if the crafter made them themselves.
Yeah.
Meaning like if it's a leather working chest piece that's soulbound when you make it, you can even request a work order for that. It won't be soulbound to the crafter. You can
still It'll be soulbound to you as the purchaser. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. So one thing I think it may be awkward with this is figuring out commission prices if you don't include all of the materials. Right. And maybe we end up with like an add-on that does it, but that feels bad. I would like it to just be like, you know, honestly, like the non-soulbound stuff, or like, I don't know. Maybe it'll just be conventional that you put all of the reagents in that you as a purchaser are able to, like, you max out the reagents for it. Mm-hmm. And then the crafter does not use any of their own except what is like soulbound to them. Cause they did like, so, there are some that are soulbound to the crafter and some that are soulbound to the requester. And so, you know, maybe that just becomes conventional and the commission is literally just like a tip, which is already kind of how it goes. Like, if you get somebody to craft your, you know, leather chest in trade chat, you bring them all of the materials, they craft it, and then you hopefully tip them.
Yeah. 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 I can see something too with like the commodities markets being now region wide, right? Like potentially the ability to like sync that up where saying like commission is your tip on top of it. And then you as a person who only provided in this example, like the website, they provided like 14 of the 20 items needed. Yeah. Those extra six just up the price you need to post it, right? Buy whatever the craft, like the reagent cost is, or sorry, the...
Yeah. And that actually would be a neat way to do it if it's like, you know, instead of it just being commission, it's got like cost to complete, which is just paying for the remaining commodities at the current market price, and then a commission on top of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, first look at it, very clean, very easy to use, you know, seems like a good change in terms of like making crafting a little bit more of a thing in WoW, right?
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So they then did a little small section, which is probably not what they want to focus on just yet, but on profession specializations, basically just calling out that like you will be able to specialize certain parts of your profession, right? This includes both gathering and crafting. And you can be a little bit different than your peers. And this is what they talked about in their original overview of like saying like you can specialize in making the best helms or your thing, or you can specialize in getting more stuff for each like mining node you hit, right?
A little like bit that, like so. Back in TPC as a blacksmith, you could have like mace. You could make the special mace or you could make the special sword, but you couldn't make both as the same crafter without like resetting some part of your crafting ability.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what
the requirements were, but Stun Herald was only craftable by the mace specialization blacksmiths. So
we'll learn more about that. They really didn't go into that much other than to say that it's still something they have on the table. So and then the bulk of the profession sort of overview went through sort of the quality section and some actual like profession stats that they have, and how they're sort of viewing both skilling up your profession along with, you know, how these sort of profession only stats interact with it. And so looking at it, they basically are going to give you sort of item quality, which functions or looks very similar to like legendary ranks. But in this case, like as you craft a piece of gear, you can, and you get better at it, or craft more of it, I should say, you can increase the quality of that crafted piece, either just through naturally having more skill points or by using some optional reagents that increase the quality just based on adding those into the craft. And the idea is like the quality then affects the final item level of the piece that you have. But it seems like it's minor. Like it's a definitely an increase, but it's like a their example is a 10 eye level difference between tier 1 and tier 5 in terms of the crafted piece.
And so I want to comment specifically on that. Like I mentioned previously, they were like, there was a gap I felt between how they understood legendaries and how we as players understood legendaries, and like people being like, oh, you have to use the max rank one and everything. Mm-hmm. The example gap that they gave between tier 1 and tier 5 is less than the gap right now between a rank 8 and rank 9 legendary. Mm-hmm. It's very minor in comparison. So that's actually pretty big. I also want to clarify all of the like, well, not all, most of the crafting materials, the gathering, like the mats that you gather are going to have a quality. So having more gathering skill means higher quality mats. Whatever gathering specialization ends up meaning, if there is a gathering specialization, that's going to impact material quality. and then it's going to be easier to craft higher quality items with higher quality materials. So there's going to be some complexity that comes in there for the crafter of figuring out, you know, hey, I have my crafting skill and I want to craft, you know, a tier 5 item, you know, can I get away with using the less expensive materials because I've specialized in this and make a larger profit because I can use cheaper materials? You know, there's some interesting things there for crafters to figure out some that's mostly like spreadsheet-y stuff, but there's room for spreadsheet stuff to exist in the crafting system. So,
yeah. Yeah. So that'll, I mean, that's a, it adds an additional level of complexity within the profession system of like now trying to balance, you know, quality of material, like basic materials. And then also like how that potentially influences the quality of what you're trying to craft. Particularly if you're like, and the way that I was sort of was reading it too, is that it's a combination of like your skill in crafting plus the quality of material, like base materials, that influence what the final item's quality will be. Meaning like you can potentially use higher level base materials or consume commodities, right? Sorry, yeah. I was trying to think of the right word. To then boost up the quality of the item that you make like beyond your skill, which is which is an interesting like mini game, and crafting adds a slight amount of depth to it. The only thing I was gonna say is like you mentioned the legendary issue. Like I'm wondering if after the initial rush of this, like does this just become the legendary issue of saying like, okay, I only care about rank tier 5 crafted items, right?
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I think it depends a lot on how the prices for the different materials pan out and how the material requirement pans out. Like if you have to use tier 5 materials in order to get a tier 5 item, then that could potentially inflate the price of a tier 5 item way more than a tier 3 item because it's the most desirable. But if a tier 3 item is only 4 eye levels lower, you know, there's going to be a bunch of people where that just makes sense to get the tier 4 item or the tier 3 item and save, you know, if you can shave off a quarter or a third of the price by doing that, like people definitely do that. It's when they have the, like when it's going from like heroic to mythic eye level, it feels a lot worse to do that.
No, I guess that is true. So I mean, I think the other aspect of this too is like, I'm hoping they're thinking about how this system grows over the course of an expansion too.
Yeah.
Meaning like, do we run into the same sort of like tier, like having to restart at tier 1 crafting for like season 2 of 10.0's like items, right?
That's a great thought. I don't know how they're going to do that yet. And it may actually be that like there's new items. One thing that we haven't talked about yet, but they did go into some, there's crafting stats. You're going to have gear that has crafting stats on it that you use in order to craft high quality items. And so what it may be is that in order to get the high quality items for patch 10.1, you need to first acquire patch 10.1 eye level crafting gear.
True. Yeah.
And that then becomes a limiter. And then the question is, how do you get 10.1 crafting gear? I have no idea. They didn't tell us. So, but if there's some limiter there, then that leads to a kind of progression where you can't just immediately jump into the tier 5 crafted pieces. As well as actually one thing that we haven't mentioned, the soulbound materials requirements. Actually, we did mention it, but like the soulbound materials requirements, like if you have to have a mythic piece, a mythic soulbound item in order to get a soulbound tier 5 mythic piece crafted, then you literally, in some cases, are not going to be able to buy tier 5 because you won't have the soulbound materials. So your only option as a heroic raider might be to buy a tier 4 because you don't have the tier 5 item.
That's a fair point. I think it'll be interesting to see how the system grows, but at least in the base like initial patch, this seems really cool. With like, it seems much more complex, I'll say. Like we're sort of, I think we're jumping around a little bit because there's also the idea of like there are optional reagents or sorry, they call them finishing reagents, I'm sorry, that can like add stats and different things to the crafting process, right? Or to you as a crafter. So maybe we talk a little bit about the stats here. Yeah. And so like there's a handful of stats that sort of will help or sort of change the way that you craft. One of them being like inspiration, which basically gives you a percent chance to craft the recipe with extra skill, meaning higher quality. Resourcefulness, which just lessens the amount of resources you'll use when you make the craft. Multi-craft is sort of if it's a stackable item, procs additional items. So it's like the old Potion Master or Flask Master from yep. BC. And then crafting speed, just craft faster. And so like the idea is like adding these reagents is sort of a nice to have, particularly if like you focus on alchemy and focus on being a like your guild's potion person. You'll want to stack as much multi-craft and resourcefulness as you can because you want to sort of try and lessen the amount of mats you use and also get many extra procs, right?
Yeah.
If you can, if that's even a combination, right? I think the examples they really gave was like inspiration plus crafting speed. So maybe it's only like one of the first three plus crafting speed is all you can stack. But no, it's another,
yeah.
It's another like level of complex, like not even complexity, but like depth within the crafting system. That I think is something that it needed, right? I think profession overhaul is cool, right?
Yeah. And so they did actually, I thought it was really interesting. They gave the reasoning that they have for including each of these stats. Like the goal of inspiration is not really to be the like min-maxer's kind of stat. It's to be, I mean, that you want to get lucky. If you enjoy like crafting it and sometimes getting something better, and like you just want to roll the dice and get lucky sometimes, then that's what inspiration exists to do. And you have some amount of base inspiration probably that, you know, is going to give everybody some chance to have that occur. But building around that is probably not their intended like thing to do. If you're really like, you know, you want to be the potions guy, you want to just like make tons and tons of potions.
Right.
So yeah, the other thing is they did clarify that for consumables, the end product will not have a quality. Instead, the quality is going to determine something else. They don't exactly know what yet, but the example they gave is like increasing the number of it. So if you're making potions, higher quality means more potions.
Yeah.
Or if you're making, you know, enchants, maybe higher quality means that you get an additional refund of some of the materials or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit like crossing into like the resourcefulness and the multi-crafting stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think that's necessary in order for them to have this quality stuff affect consumables. Like having to buy quality 5 potions for raid would suck.
That would be not fun, we'll say. And so it was, again, very interesting that they're sort of talking about their philosophy. One of the other things that they talk about, particularly around quality and the fact that we're going to have this sort of scale of quality, is that they sort of want some of this crafted gear, particularly not in every slot, but in like maybe one or two slots, like armor slots, right? You'll actually get a best in slot item, right? So like maybe like you can, for whatever reason in season one, you can craft a really good leather belt and it just happens to be the best leather belt you can make for whatever reason, right? Maybe it's because like the opening tier of belts is just bad for your class or whatever it ends up being.
To use an example from this tier, there is like the tier gloves from Sepulchre are haste mastery for Brewmaster. And that's bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad for Mistweaver too.
It's not good. And there's not a crit verse set of gloves from the raid. So if there were a 278 or 285 crit verse glove that you could get crafted, you would absolutely do that.
Exactly. So it'll, again, this is actually, it's giving me some very like BC type vibes, right? Or Burning Crusade type vibes where like crafting was important. Like your armor or weapon crafting was important, and making it sort of important here, I think is a cool thing to open up that part of the game. And I think that's the one thing that like, if we think about this maybe a little bit larger, right, in terms of the way that WoW plays today, is like WoW is very much centered on like a couple of key pillars. It's like you have your high-end PvE stuff, you have your high-end PvP stuff, and that's really like the end game, right? There's not a crafting end game. There's not a, you know...
It kind of is, but it's not an end game that exists in the game in and of itself. It's like this external thing of like trying to own your realm's auction house, right?
Exactly. Yeah, there's the whole like, and when I say end game, I mean there's not like your goal in the current sort of auction house crafting world is just make a lot of gold, right? Yeah. Like there's that's your general end game, and there's not like a, hey, I can make this item that no one else on my server can make, right? Or I can craft this really powerful thing. And I think it's cool that they're sort of starting to look at other aspects of the game and say like, hey, maybe we can build out a system that like maybe only a third or a quarter of the player base will interact with, but it'll be a quarter of the player base that, you know, will find really it very fun. Yeah. And stuff like that. Like it doesn't always have to cater, I think, to like one of the two. And let's be completely honest with you, like PvP sometimes feels like a back burner type thing. But like the it doesn't have to cater to like the mythic raiders of the world, right? So I think for me, this whole like, hey, you can craft mythic quality gear and potentially it's better than what you can actually get from mythic, you know, raiding or mythic, you know, high end mythic plus. I'm all for something like this. I think this is really, really cool.
They did also confirm we are going to be able to get mythic raid eye level items from crafting. We are going to be able to wear up to 5 of them at a time, which is a lot of crafted gear.
That is a lot, actually.
But also, like, so one of the things that happens in Final Fantasy is that when a new tier comes out, one of the things that the really high end players try and do beforehand is get maxed out crafted gear. You go and you get your maxed out crafted gear, and it's very expensive to get all of the materia slots in it. It's super, super pricey to do that. One of the things I think that the design team here for WoW really did correct is that the mythic eye level stuff is going to require soulbound materials from mythic raid. So you can't, like, you're not going to have to, as a mythic raider, go out and spend 2 million gold on crafted BOEs effectively. Crafted BOEs, week one of the raid. Like, they're just, you're not going to be able to. You're going to have to do some mythic bosses to get some mythic soulbound materials, and then you can go to a crafter and, like, maybe you never got gloves. Maybe you're still wearing heroic gloves or, God forbid, normal gloves. And you then go to a crafter and you're like, well, I've got my soulbound materials. I'm going to buy the other mats. I'm going to get somebody to make me some mythic eye level gloves with the stats that I want. And then later in the tier, it's like, okay, now I'm going to fine tune my secondary stats with the crafted gear. And like the pieces that I've got, like there's some that are really good for raid. I'm going to go for Biss, set up combining raid gear with the different, the 5 different crafted pieces. And that's, I think that's cool. Having the soulbound items come from raid both accomplishes the time gating that they probably want. And also functions as like a price control. Like, if the main limiting factor for legendaries in crafting legendaries was just commodities, it was materials. It was not, there was nothing special that you needed to have that limited how many of the legendary base items you could make, which then led to the price being very dependent on just material cost. With soulbound items here, what they can do is they can have the material cost be significantly lower, so that it's, you know, just a lot cheaper to have one crafted.
Right.
And then shift some of the costs in two places. One, the soulbound items. Like, it just takes, you have to have the soulbound items. They don't really have a gold cost because you have to get them yourself.
Right.
And then the second place being the crafting gear that's required. And we saw this kind of happen with crafting in Shadowlands, where when you buy a rank 9 legendary, you're not just paying for the materials for the rank 9 legendary. You're also paying for all of the materials that the crafter put into getting the ability to make a rank 9 legendary. So we're going to see that as well, where like there's going to be, when you want to get a tier 5 mythic eye level item, you're going to be paying not just the materials cost. You're also going to be paying that commission, that some of that is effectively going to cover the crafting gear and the other finishing reagents and other stuff that crafters use in order to make the highest eye level items. But that cost for the crafter is going to be amortized across everything that they make instead of being tied to that one specific item slot. And then the case of leatherworking, one specific armor type. Right.
Yeah.
Because like in order to get a rank 9 legendary in Shadowlands, the recipe for it, you have to craft just a ton of items in order to that are basically getting thrown away because nobody wants them.
Right.
That it just in order to gain the ability to craft a 291 in one specific item slot for one specific armor type. So if you multiply that by, you know, the 10 different slots you can do times the two different armor types that leatherworking can do, for example, that's a huge outlay of gold. And that's something that they actually explicitly stated in this blog post they're looking to not have happen in Dragonflight. Yeah. So I'm going to actually quote from the post here because I think it's very important. And I think that we as players have to actually, like, if they fail at this, we have to, like, blast them with this quote in the face over and over again until they fix it. So they said, please note, though, that the goal is not to have high-end gear cost anything remotely approaching the costs of top legendaries in Shadowlands. In general, we don't expect the base reagents to be nearly as expensive, and the most of the effort to become highly specialized will be through play, not through spending gold. Even if for a time only a few players can make the best items at the highest quality, getting an item crafted at a lower quality will be much more achievable. Lower quality items will be only slightly less powerful in contrast to the tiers of legendaries in Shadowlands. Finally, you'll be able to get lower quality equipment recrafted to higher quality later by a more skilled crafter for minimal reagents. And they say that there's going to be more details forthcoming on the recrafting system. But that's kind of like, they kind of had that philosophy of recrafting, upgrading it for the Legion Legend or the Shadowlands Legendaries, but it only applied to the Soul Cinders in Soul Ash. And I don't think they really thought that the legendaries were going to be as expensive as they were, or that it was going to be as problematic as it was. Because you, like we were talking about earlier, having to buy two different precursor items, base items for your legendary, it's just like doubling the amount of gold you have to spend. It's a lot.
It's just too much. I think that's a good philosophy to take into Dragonflight here, and we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how it works, how like the community reacts to like the quality of items, and like if it's always like, hey, I only want to buy tier 5 stuff, or if they'll be okay, like we'll be okay as players, like with, you know, hey, maybe I'll take the tier 3 thing because I need an item this week, and eventually I'll either replace it in a raid, or this is sort of a stopgap because I did all my mythic zeros in the first week and I didn't get an item in this slot, so we'll borrow this like crafted piece right for now. So no, I think it's good. I think the other thing too that you touched on a little bit is the whole skilling philosophy that they're changing, right? So in the same blog post, they talked about the fact that like typically the way professions have worked is you eventually work your way up through all your skill points. And then when you finally get to the max level, that's when you get to do the max level thing, right? You get to craft your, all the flasks are at max level, cauldrons are at max level for alchemy.
Right.
You know, all your best gem cuts are at max level. Jewel crafting is not still a thing. But in any event, that's the way that professions have always worked, is that at the max level or max rank is when you get the max things. What they're talking about is that essentially by midway through your skilling, you will have every recipe you need, basically. You don't need to go past basically halfway up the skill point tree. And basically what they're saying that'll do is it will stop two things. It'll stop you just having to craft things to craft them for skill points. So you'll be able to make more impactful items. You'll make items that you think you'll use or you can sell. Number two, it won't flood the market with things that won't matter, right? Like,
right.
Most of the market starts leveling.
You see this a lot with leveling gear right now, where there's like just a bajillion of the leveling eye level items, so they're worthless.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not a way to do it. So I think this is a really cool change too, because then you can also start to craft things for skill ups. Like, there's still progression after you are making the fun stuff. So, and I think the other thing too, I think that was the one thing I want to talk about. I guess the final piece, since we're sort of slowly running out of time here, is they are introducing something new for alchemy called files. which are essentially different buffed flasks, right? So they're kind of like flask in that they count as both a battle and guardian elixir, but they're not like flask in that they're only 30 minutes and they do weird things. Like some of the examples they gave was like a versatility increase, a intellect increase if you remain stationary, and then like an intellect increase if you like aren't near any of your allies, right?
Okay, so I just want to, I'm going to like, I think, so briefly, I think this is kind of cool, but that last one cannot go live, or it cannot be good. Like one of the two, it either has to be bad or it can't go live, because those of you that don't remember, there is this trinket from Opulence in BFA called Sliver that was like, I don't know what they did when they were tuning that trinket, but holy shit, that was the most toxic trinket for raiding, where you had like, you had a Sliver stack and it was all of your ranged, all of them. So you had to like trade Slivers to your hunters so that they could stand in the Sliver stack, even though it was giving them intellect, because it was better for them to be able, for the raid to have like the eight other people using the intellect Sliver and then the hunter just like not screwing up their Sliver.
So good.
Now, this may be way more limited because it doesn't say other allies that are also using Vial of Charged Isolation. Like Sliver, that was a thing. You could only stand with other people that had the Sliver trinket. So that led you to have like a Sliver stack. It may just be that this one is naturally bad because you can't do it in raid. And if you have too many people doing it, you have to spread too much and there's just not space.
Yeah.
But oh my God, I don't want that one to be good. I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, this is, and I think this adds, I mean, it's just a quick little preview. It's like two paragraphs on, but I think it'll be interesting to see if these are like, I foresee this hopefully being like the out in the world doing like questing or whatever it ends up being, right? Type like things that you use. And then like the typical flask of like, here's main stat God, your chat. And then the typical I lost my train of thought. But the typical flask of like main stat increases are going to be like the raid type things you use, right? These files become like the, you know, either smaller group content or just like out in the world doing stuff type thing. So it's again, I think profession wise, the preview is like we said, started this, it's extremely lengthy, probably longer than any other preview they've given on a system in a couple of expansions now. And it's really, I mean, in depth, and it seems like they're taking professions in a direction that, like, to be fair, I'm never going to interact with this. Like I'm going to maybe use the work orders to buy things that I need, but like, I'm not going to care about having the best leather working thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like on the flip side, like for me back in Cataclysm, I was really big into doing auction stuff. And I like was one of the two or three major scribes on my server. And I was one of the first ones to get one of the very desirable new minor glyphs that they added in one of the cata patches. And so I was able to make a killing on that for a few weeks before other people RNG'd their way from the crafting research into that item. So that was awesome. And I liked that. And it was also a huge headache because of having to maintain this like huge diverse inventory of all like hundreds of different glyphs. And then trying to post them all, it was a huge, huge, huge headache. Work orders actually solve part of that for gear, not for consumables like glyphs, but for gear, because you don't have to maintain a big inventory of the different crafted pieces. You can just go and like somebody requests it and you go and you fill their order. And you don't have to fill 100 bag slots with all the different stat combinations of helms.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very excited about this. I kind of got burned out on professions this expansion because of trying to do leatherworking legendaries in 9.0, and I you know got through rank 2 on everything that the guild needed, and then we just ended up doing guild bank transfers for the rank 4s anyway, and I just like haven't touched crafting since. Absolutely have not touched crafting since. I do like armor kits now because sometimes they creep up in price and it's just cheaper to craft them. But yeah. Other than that, I don't mess with it. But I'm looking forward to like getting back into it in 10.0. One additional thing I wanted to mention before we wrap up. I don't know, people that haven't really engaged with crafting this expansion may not realize, but there's actually been a crafting like points buff or bump every tier. Like the number, the max skill level you can get for like leatherworking has gone up by 25 each tier. So normally it was 75 points to max out leatherworking in season one. In season three, it's 125 points, if I'm not crazy. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. So that's another way that they can make it scale from tier to tier. It's like add new higher eye level recipes that then require higher crafting, you know, have a soft requirement maybe of higher crafting skill that then, you know, your crafters, your dedicated crafters then can rank up their, continue ranking up their crafting in the new patch. And that becomes a limiter towards crafting the new best stuff. And then everybody kind of finishes leveling up and.
Yeah, that would be, I guess they could do that, like the increase in the ranks. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like, I am alchemy and enchanting on any character just because I want 2-hour flasks or to make mana pots when I forget them. And then I want to just disenchant gear and sell the mats because it's easy. Like, for me, being like the AFK person I am mostly outside of raids, it's the easiest two professions to make money while you raid in.
Yeah. Also, alchemy is nice for the double flask duration.
Yeah. So I only use one and then I can, I don't ever run out of flasks, we'll say, which is cool. So no, yeah, I mean, we'll see. Maybe this will be my like, maybe not return, but I'll start maybe caring more about, probably, I'm not going to. I'm literally not going to, but maybe. Maybe they'll pull me back in with this, so. But I'm, cool note. Yeah.
I'm really excited about this. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think, I mean, everything, like, there's not, I think we talked, not maybe not talked about this, but there's not a ton of new stuff, I think, coming in Dragonflight in terms of like overhauls or brand new things. But I think the stuff that is coming in, particularly professions, talent trees eventually for monks, I think it's some really cool stuff. Some like,
yeah.
Yeah. Some interesting things. So,
I mean, I think the profession stuff that they have described gives me a lot of hope because of two things. First, it seems fairly well thought out. Like they thought through the different things that could happen, the different issues that they could run into. And two, it seems like they've actually taken the lessons from crafting in Shadowlands and crafting in previous expansions and taken those lessons and said, okay, we have to learn from these so that we do not, like, legendaries in Shadowlands are massively unpopular. It, like, the way that you craft them is massively unpopular. People do not like going and spending huge amounts of gold to buy these legendaries. And so they are like, well, if people are going to have to interact with crafted gear next expansion, we got to make sure that the gold outlay is actually reasonable for them to do. And so, and also that they're not like pressured into buying them when the prices are highest at the start of the tier. So that leads you into stuff like the materials, the soulbound materials costs and things like that. So it's very cool. I'm also hopeful that this will fully replace the BOE system, like no more BOE drops from raid or like minimal BOE drops from raid. And instead you get your crafted pieces. That would be kind of nice.
That would be okay.
But this is all very cool as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I am definitely excited for this. And I think I'm more excited for next week. I'll be honest with you. And some actual information on Dragonflight. It'll be fun to see what they launch with, right? Like how many zones are open. Like
yeah.
What additional classes, you know, we're going to see which systems are going to be live. So now this upcoming week should be pretty exciting. If you are into World of Warcraft, I'll be completely honest with you. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very hyped for this coming week.
Yeah.
But I think that is going to be it for our show today. Thank you all for watching and or listening. Now, my guildies are bullying me in Twitch chat to come and play mage in a key for them. But joke's on them because I have D&D after this. if you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and the other work that we do over at the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/Peak of Serenity. And of course, you can come and join the lounge, regardless of whether you're a patron or not. Brew Lounge, I think, might finally have finished talking about F1 for the day. So you can talk about Brewmaster stuff. Imagine that in the Brew Lounge. Can't even fathom it. But that's it for the show today. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.